Good evening, this is Mae Brussel. The title of this one-hour broadcast is World Watchers. It is program number 793, February the 16th, 1986. Phil Donahue had a program this morning with William Colby and Reed Irvine of Accuracy in Media and Chris Christopherson discussing the movie America. Christopherson was speaking from the Soviet Union. I have a lot to say about that. I'm not watching the movie. I hope you're not watching the movie. I hope you never watch ABC again. But all I want to say is that at this point is that William Colby comes on as somewhat of a liberal or leftist, and when they because he doesn't want to escalate the arms race with the Soviet Union, but he is not introduced as the man who headed the Phoenix program, whose name was directly linked to the Nguyen Bank, who the bank that took the narcotics out of Laos and Southeast Asia, or his close linkage to John Singlaub, to General Singlaub, General Richard Secord, CIA Theodore Shackley, CIA Thomas Kleins, or CIA Edwin Wilson, and their role with the Phoenix program with torture, or the fact that four of these men, Wilson's in jail, are defendants at the current time in the Christie Institute lawsuit as being narcotics traffickers today, continuation of Colby's operation in Southeast Asia, or their assassination of journalists in Costa Rica, the attempted coup in Costa Rica where they killed the U.S. Head of the embassy and blame the Nicaraguans for it. Colby comes on as the leftist on Phil Donahue's show, just as Tom Braden does on CNN. I'm Tom Braden from the left, who headed his own CIA operations, covert actions, and death squads that allowed the narcotics traffics to flow. The program of America shouldn't be discussed the first week. It probably should be done when it's over. As I say, I hope you have the guts not to watch it. It's ironic that this movie, America, that's so controversial, is the last testament of William Colby. From the OSS and a Knight of Malta, he developed himself into a position of owning Capital Cities, not Metro Media, and Capital Cities bought ABC Network. He formed Capital Cities with Lowell Thomas, who was in the CIA. They were both agents always. And Mr. Casey ran and managed Ronald Reagan's campaign when it got a little iffy whether he could pull it or not, and they pulled every dirty trick they could. And, of course, as CIA director, he bought this station, ABC. So America is his gift to you and to escalate the Cold War. Now, there are many corporations involved with this CIA, ABC, William Casey operation. And I suggest, if you have any guts, that you just say, I have other networks. They're all bad. CBS is bad, and NBC, and CNN. But you don't have to watch this particular one, and if you make a promise to yourself you'll never see it again, no matter what it's on, what's on it, you won't lose anything. Believe me, you won't lose anything. There was an article about America and the corporate reasons for making it this time. Ronald Reagan wants to leave the legacy of Star Wars to the world, and he wants the contracts in the hands of certain people that will be so large that we can't back down or we'll say the money was wasted. And there are two things that run this country. One is weapons and one is drugs. I'll speak briefly about the weapons and the movie America and then continue a part on drugs that I started last week, drugs and Contragate. There are persons on the board of ABC who would make a lot by scaring you and making you fear that the Russians will take us, and therefore we have to have the Star Wars to protect us from anything they want to do to get their foot inside the door. It isn't a war movie, but it's to make you hate the Russians, and if you hate the Russians, you'll get more weapons. Here are some of the people on the board of Capital Cities ABC. Robert P. Bauman is on the board. He's chairman and executive director of Textron, a member of the board of directors of Avco Financial Services, which is a subsidiary of Textron. Textron's based in Providence, Rhode Island. It's one of the top corporate military strategic defense initiative contractors. Incidentally, this rundown in the military was published in the People's Daily World, February the 12th, 1987. And I'm not afraid to cite organizations and publications, left or right, when their material is documented and based upon facts that you can look up in Dun & Bradstreet if you want to spend the time. To continue, this company, Robert Bauman's company, Textron and Avco, was awarded a total of $120 million in Star War contracts between 1983 and 86, according to a study by the Council on Economic Priorities. The contracts of Avco and Textron, which it acquired in 1985, Avco produces, among other things, aircraft engines, structures, defense systems, defense space systems and products. Avco produces Operation ICBM systems, experimental ICBM reentry systems, ICBM penetration aids, ABM target vehicles, aircraft penetration aids, space systems, tactical weapons, anti-armor, munitions, rocket, nozzle, materials, ICBM, nose tip materials, thermostructural materials. In 1985, Textron was awarded $1.9 billion for Pentagon business, including Star Wars. They produce aerospace, electronic products, helicopters, air cushion vehicles, rocket engines, electromagnetic defense systems. On the board of Capital Cities, ABC is William I. Spencer. Also on the board of directors of United Technologies, which was the president of that firm, of course, was Alexander Haig. Before he became president, secretary of state, rather, he wants to be president, a slip of tongue. And Haig, well, he sat at the desk of United Technologies, was meeting Francesco Pazienza and Michael Ledeen, warriors of the Super Cisma, those little silent secret teams that plan overthrows of governments to make them safe for the hands of the narcotics dealers. United Technologies is seventh in the list of 1985 recipients of military contracts. They got $3.9 billion. They produce marine engines, rocket motors, airborne systems, automotive and space equipment, military helicopters, energy conductors, military electronic systems, semiconductor memory devices, integrated circuits, and electronic subsystems. M. Cabell Woodward, Jr., on the board of Capital Cities, ABC vice chairman, chief financial officer and director of ITT, the major corporation that funded Adolf Hitler from World War I to World War II and built planes for Hitler during the war, and with Mr. Benz and his operation, they were very influential in having Salvador Allende murdered and put in the dictator Augusto Pinochet in Chile. That was a monument to ITT. They are major communications and telecommunications corporation. In 1985, ITT took $1.5 billion in Pentagon contracts. Mr. Frank T. Carey is on the board of Capital Cities, ABC, and on the board of directors of IBM and Morgan Guaranty Trust. If you read George Seldes' books, written right after World War II, brilliant books, he lists the millions and millions of dollars that Morgan Guaranty Trust gave to Adolf Hitler and Mussolini for their fascism. The 1985 Pentagon spending figure for IBM was $1.8 billion. They produced data processing machines, systems, telecommunication systems, and products. Morgan Guaranty Trust is the primary bank for Martin Marietta, another of the top 20 military Star Wars contractors. They took in $73 million in SDI contracts from 1983 to 86. The company got $2.7 billion from the Pentagon. Martin Marietta makes aerospace, defense, electronic products, communications, information systems, aluminum aggregate, construction material. Alan Greenspan, a member of the board of Capital Cities, ABC, sits on the board of Alcoa, a major producer of aluminum, one of the major materials used in spacecraft, aircraft, and military vehicles. The idea of making America was set in 1983, shortly before Capital Cities acquired ABC, but then it was developed again in 1985. And, of course, William Casey and the CIA and Ronald Reagan and Star Wars and Edward Teller were operative from the time Reagan got into office. But Reagan had been pushing the Star Wars with Edward Teller earlier than that when he was governor in California. They were preparing for this. Also on the board of ABC is Norman T. Pace. He's director of Sperry Corporation that took in $1.6 billion in military contracts. Sperry produces information processing system, defense, aerospace, electronic systems. Frank Carey and Alan Greenspan were on the ABC board before Capital Cities took over. Then William Casey, the CIA director, bought the station. Now his brain is fried, literally zapped, and he leaves us with America. There was an article in the New York Times today titled Reagan's Secret Foreign Policy Apparatus. And this has to do with Project Democracy. It was first called Project Democracy. Then it was called National Endowment for the Arts. And he introduced this team that was supposed to be above board for democracy and arts, giving it these misnomers, you know, for National Endowment for Democracy, rather, and Project Democracy, not the arts. June the 8th, 1982, in a speech before the British Parliament to show how great we are and all this money for democracy, he was telling the British about that. I'll do more on this article next week, but the point I want to make about it that is very important is, number one, it is a misnomer. There is no real secret policy. You may not know all the operations, but it is a misnomer. This is an open, above-board policy. But what is secret? What is the necessity for secret that Oliver North and Ronald Reagan and Fritz Kramer and the national security agencies need? What is the secret? The secret, the bottom line, is narcotics traffic, weapons and narcotics. Anti-communism covers the Mossad, Israel, Nazis, gun runners, assassination teams. There is no morality. The economy is based upon, years ago we thought it was based upon war. It is based upon weapons and war. That is what the secret government is for, because if Congress knew, and of course Congress could know, they won't take tapes of Mae Brussel and they won't listen, because they already know this is happening, and I'm not supposed to be telling you it's happening. And they look the other way. There's no secret policies. There's no secret teams. There's a new book that just came out called The Underground Empire. It's by James Mills. He wrote for Life magazine, Wall Street Journal, hardly a leftist. And in the introduction on the cover of the book, he says the Earth's people on the Earth spend more money on illegal drugs than food, more on drugs than housing, clothing, education, medical care, or any other product or service. The international, it crosses all boundaries, of narcotics industry is the largest growth industry in the world. Its annual revenues exceed $500 billion, three times the value of all United States currency in circulation, three times more than the gross national products. In fact, in his book, I think he says there's $3 million of narcotics that are sold daily. And he says that this international narcotics industry is an underground empire. It's sovereign. It is an empire, and it has a solid front out in the world, you know, working and exploiting and acquiring, similar to 19th century imperial kingdoms, far-reaching as the British Empire, and as cohesive as the states of the American Republic. Now, Oliver North is an agent of that underground empire. He stays there, or stayed there until he was forced to leave in November, under Fritz Kramer, sitting on the National Security Council for the past 6 years, identified by Robert Novak. Fritz Kramer was in charge of the entire Southeast Asian war. He was the mentor, and still is, behind Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig. And I've said before, wherever Kissinger and Haig make ground or break ground or break bread, the drug traffic flows. It opens up for the empire, these veins into the empire. Southeast Asian war wasn't used to make democracies anywhere. We didn't care about countries. We didn't care about people. The purpose of that war, and he was the plans officer of that. Kramer was over General Westmoreland in making policies. It opened up narcotics traffic, offshore bankings. It built networks of heroin and cocaine and opium, and took over where the French and the British left off, transferred a lot of the overt activity at the time of the OSS becoming the CIA. And in the 50s, the CIA took over those areas to begin our narcotics traffic. People like General John Singlaub, General Richard Secord, CIA Thomas Kleins, CIA Theodore Shackley, CIA Edwin Wilson, all active, and I recite their names, and I will do it over and over again, because you have two generals and two top officials of the Central Intelligence Agency, defendants today in a trial of drug traffic, assassinations, death traps, and that is the underground apparatus. It is a secret foreign policy. It had to stay secret because it is drug traffic. That is what the NSC is about, and that is where our armies go. There's two things, one to make weapons and the other narcotics traffic. So I'll be doing more on this next week. There's a very good book that describes some of the linkage of this. Penny Lanoux's book, The Banks We Trust, as a matter of fact, for subscribers to World Watchers last year, I was offering that, thanks to Tom Davis at Research, is one of the premiums, and it's a book everyone should have. And this goes into banks such as the Nguyen Bank, which links our government to Laos, Southeast Asia, and the opium cocaine, the very people involved with Contragate. There's a chapter on Chase Manhattan, and of course Chase with Kissinger on the board has been a big funnel and a source of operation with Middle East, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan drugs, the Florida bankers, the mobsters, the offshore havens. She has a chapter. Those are the linkage of President Nixon, Bibi Rabosa, George Smathers, Nixon as vice president, and his contacts to them. And then the Miami-Columbia cocaine connections that are currently in the news, linked to the Contragate. And the World Finance Corporation, which is a right-wing terrorist in the Arabs, which is part of the Colombian group, and the Vatican connections to Steve Baum, Archbishop Paul Marcinkus, the Sicilian Mafia, very important linkage of the banks and the drugs. So that's what the secret team is about. That's why it is necessary. Now, last week, I went at great length to talk about drug connections as much as I could in 1 hour. Because of the arrest of Carlos Leder Rivas, the cocaine king from Colombia, who was brought in last week in his close association with affinity for the beliefs of Adolf Hitler and Mussolini. He stands between statues of them when he speaks. He has a linkage to Robert Vesco, which opens up other veins and arteries that are very important. Leder was brought in last week. And I particularly emphasized the linkage in the news just last week to George Bush and cocaine contracts. And I'm going over that again in a few minutes and update the linkage of events that took place this past week. And I also cited 35 major articles. I didn't have room for more. I could double it, of the connection of cocaine and drug traffic to Contragate. So it's very much in the news, and it's very, very important. Now, before I get to the drug traffic, but it's not separated, and this involves drug traffic also, November the 10th, 1986, I did a one-hour broadcast on the various pockets of the Contragate because it would be so big and vast, and at various times we'd have to hit sometimes the Iranian story, sometimes the Nicaraguan story. All of these people that I'm citing lead to back to the assassination of John Kennedy. They go earlier to the Bay of Pigs, and then the coup in 63. So the Iran story, the Contragate are not separate from that. And also I cited other problems that will come out. Eventually the summit at Reykjavik, which was in the news today, that isn't going to go down. What happened at the summit, that story is yet to be told. And the Challenger I cited as an open sore and open pus. And of course there's the neutron bomb in Cameroon that has not yet been described properly. But the hub of all of these operations, one of the men, you can't say there's a single one, but identifiable as a hub of the drug traffic, the assassinations, and the coups, and the Nazi fascism, is John Singlau. He's the common denominator between the Mossad, between the Nazis, between the drug traffic, between the assassinations, and between the domestic operations that are going to happen in this country. The misnomer that this is a foreign team in the New York Times today is totally wrong. These people work domestically, treat us like third world. We are being reduced and pulverized like countries in the third world are treated by us now, by this team. Singlau I cited as a hub of a will because of his connections to the World Anti-Communist League, to Nazi terrorists, to Chiang Kai-shek's operation in Taiwan, to the Kuomintang, and to Reverend Moon. Singlau's work with the Knights of Malta, the Vatican, his connections to Soldier of Fortune, Robert Brown. He set up that magazine with a Vietnam veteran for recruiting what are called private armies that are very visible as part and approval of the United States. His links to Western Goals with their computers into the police departments. And on the board, there is Edward Teller and Admiral Moore. Teller of Star Wars again, the importance of Star Wars. And also his friend Spitz Channel, who's under investigation now, became president of Western Goals when Larry McDonald was dumped in the ocean on the Korean Airline. And Singlau is important in the American Security Council, which is the twin sister of the National Security Council, but remains separate and has close linkage to the Center of Strategic and International Studies that gives all policies to the White House. And Singh Lab, of course, is the man pushing the neutron bomb that would make the growth process possible. The foliage and the buildings for narcotics traffic just get rid of the people. So Singh Lab is a kingpin, and in lieu of that, I just want to mention him for about 2 minutes, because Singh Lab was on the news this Sunday evening last night. ABC News said that Singh Lab has now moved to the Philippines. He's going to help Corazon Aquino or work on his own to get rid of communists. Now, get rid of communists, of course, means to get rid. There's two definitions of getting rid of communists. One is to make the world free for drug traffic, and the other is to turn the world Christian. Those are his goals, and he works with organizations that have that express purpose, even though they work with the Mossad. The overview is to make the world Christian, and I'm sure the Mossad that work with him probably would be glad to go along with that operation. They have that kind of mentality. Now, Singh Lab is a defendant in the suit, along with these other characters, the Christic Institute of Drug Traffic, assassination coups in Nicaragua planned, when, of course, he's been in many more, and the murder of seven journalists, the attempted murder of Eden Pastora, and the two persons that filed the suit. But Singh Lab has now moved to the Philippines. Liberty Lobby had an article, a very interesting article, January 26, 1987, about treasure hunters in the Philippines involving John Singh Lab, the Vatican, and Reverend Moon. I have about 30 articles on the gold treasure in the Philippines I've been meaning to do, but this is the most interesting of all of them that I've read, written by Tom Valentine. It's called Treasure Hunters on the Move. It's gold rush time in the Philippines, and it's about gold fever that portions of treasure trove buried by the Japanese during World War II are buried in the Philippines, and samples of the gold can be obtained from the Philippine National Bank. In going for the gold treasures in the Philippines, the gold that is received is handled by the Vatican Bank, according to this person, and that makes sense because Cardinal Sin was instrumental in getting Mr. Ferdinand Marcos and his wife out of the Philippines, and he's very closely associated, although the Pope sometimes slaps his hand. But the Pope doesn't do very much of that because he'd like the hand to have the Vatican gold. So this will be handled, the payments and the telex communication between the Vatican Bank, and will be getting the delivery and payments of the Philippine gold. Now, William Casey and William Rogers were attorneys for the Marcos family. William Casey of the CIA. He's a Knight of Malta of the Vatican. And it's easy to see now why Senator Lugar and Senator Paul Laxalt were forcing Mr. Marcos out, because Corazon Aquino's husband worked with Singh Lab, Shackley, Secord, and Kleins. He worked with the Southeast Asia Phoenix program of William Colby, and she can be very much at home with his team, and she's allowed Thomas Kleins and John Singh Lab to the Philippines, and Singh Lab is there now, evidently working with her. There's a man named Bob Curtis, who says there are approximately 172 different Japanese treasure troves, and they're looking for this gold. He's recovered more than 2,200 tons of Japanese gold in 1975. He's afraid to go back. He has authentic maps of locations, but if he goes, he'll be killed on the spot. Permits to invest in treasure hunting come from President Corazon Aquino. There are four groups that are going for the gold. One is at Calatagan Bay. This involves Al Myers, an American engineer with a Philippine consortium headed by Francisco Sumulong, a Philippine congressman and the uncle to President Aquino. And they hope to be getting up about 800 tons of gold within the next few weeks. Another group is called the Nippon Star. They've kind of been pushed aside. It was originally run by Cesar Loran, a Filipino who worked for General Fabian Vare, but they fled to Hawaii with the Marcos, so they can't be so active. The third group is the Phoenix Overseas Project, headed by John Singh Lab, who has established an office in Manila. And Singh Lab of Western Goals with Mr. Channel was a large raiser of funds for domestic operations as well as international operations. Imagine what he'd do with the gold if he could give Mr. Channel's offices and so forth computers into every police department in the United States around the world. So Singh Lab is over there digging this gold. He was a fundraiser for Mr. Channel and worked with him in along with Ollie North, getting money to get Ronald Reagan reelected and hopefully congressman they wanted. Zinglab's involved the National Security Council, the CIA, the Iran scandal, the arms in the Contra arms, the drug he's defended in the Christic Institute. Now he's on the Phoenix program that he's been setting up for a couple of years down in the Philippines. The New York Times, August the 14th, reported that Zinglab was working with the Anti-Defamation League with Irwin Small, Swall, S-U-A-L-L. The ADL is the Mossad, and Executive Intelligence Review has been running articles for years of the linkage of drug traffic, the Mossad, Israel, the Zionists with fascist organizations. Irwin Swall is helping Zinglab cling out the anti-Semites or the overt anti-Semites in the World Anti-Communist League so the organization can keep going. But the definition of anti-Semites is very thin, considering that the Israeli Mossad would work with Klaus Barbie and staunch Nazis, protect these people, or protect Joseph Mengele and be the chief of security for Mr. Stroessner in Paraguay. John Zinglab, according to this article, is using his influence to get permission from the Philippine government for searching on this land. His partner there is Korean holy man, Sungmun Moon, who's also involved. They want to finance their, what they call their private army, with Philippine gold. What they say is the private army will be used by Zinglab and Moon to finance international armed forces determined to buck communism. Does that sound like the Freikorps of Adolf Hitler? How can General John Zinglab have a private army when he works with the overt fascists and wants, as I say, to deploy the neutron bomb, was a general in the army and touches every base of the privately funded direct Defense Department-linked organizations in narcotics traffic, gun running, assassinations? Remember in the Philippines, Carl Weidenbach, graduate from Hitler's Kriegsakademie, whose real name, he changed his name, born Carl Weidenbach, to Charles Willoughby, was chief of security in the Philippines with Douglas MacArthur. He worked with the Japanese war criminals. They may just know where this money is. And, of course, Willoughby works closely with Zinglab and that gang. Ryosha Sasakawa, the Japanese war criminal who formed Moon's church, is behind Reverend Moon. Here is Moon digging up gold for the Fourth Reich, what they call a private army, is a world control, and they all say they want Christian organizations to get this money, and it'll go to the Vatican. It can hardly be a private army. This is that empire, no longer underground. This is the empire. The goal of the Fourth Reich was to put away the Nazi gold. Form corporations used forged money and counterfeit money and also money, flight capital, taken out of other countries to escalate the Reich. Involved with these people is Francois Junot, the Swiss banker. He attended meetings in 1944 where Martin Bormann was and Hitler's top henchman on how to build the Fourth Reich, set up corporations and use the Swiss bank accounts, flight capital, and set up organizations throughout the world, both of terrorism and the police force to counter the terrorism that will control the masses when the fascism come. Junot is the one who hired Jacques Vergès as the attorney for Klaus Barbie, and he also hired the attorney for Mr. Abdullah, the terrorist who is now on trial in Paris for shooting an American general. Part of the Nazi gold network has always been Prince Bernhard. There's not coincidentally, in Operation Bernhard. Bernhard heads the Bilderberger organization that has meetings annually with Kissinger and Haig and all the powerful multinational corporations. So they're looking for Nazi gold. I'm just citing people that have been working with this gold for a long time. Bernhard was in the Gestapo. He was on the board of IG Farben and used Swiss bank accounts. And he is still not in the background right now, but a very powerful man. Also linked to this Nazi gold is Hermann Apps, who was on the board of IG Farben, who's the head of the Reichsbank, who wrote the pay checks for Adolf Hitler. Hermann Apps is currently with the Pope, who worked at Auschwitz for IG Farben, and their projects have involved Nazi gold. And so that the dream of Zinglab and Moon goes directly to Willoughby and Sasakawa and Junot and Bernhard and Hermann Apps and the Vatican. So this article you may take a little bit seriously, and it is frightening. They want to buck communism and have international armed forces. and through these powers that be. And Jack Anderson, according to these articles, visited the Philippines a while ago with John Singlaub there. Anderson, knowing he's a defendant in this suit filed by Mr. Xi on behalf of defendant plaintiffs attacking Singlaub and his team for gun-running assassinations, these are the people who, in whose hands the Nazi gold will be. Jack Anderson is allegedly working with them. There is the Nippon Group with Fabian Baer that's eased out. The Phoenix Group with Singlaub, Moon, and the Vatican connections with all of them. The Delta Group, another group, is working from Tulsa, Oklahoma for this gold. And there's a Myers Group working in San Francisco and in the Philippines with Francisco Sumulong, Aquino's uncle. I say San Francisco because Corazon Aquino has very powerful relatives there and also in Pebble Beach. And they're working under the National Christian Businessmen's Association. So this is the only time I have on this half of the broadcast to do the Singlaub Moon Philippine gold connections, but it could be horrendous in consequences going into the Vatican Bank. I'll take a one-minute break now and go on to the narcotic connections of the Contras and some very important articles this week. It's going to affect all of us someday and what they're doing now, working down there to dig up this gold.